gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Pod of No Return, an in-depth, sometimes humorous, behind-the-scenes tour of real life and a Broadway show with your hosts, Greg Mills and Jeremy Stoll. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Pod of No Return with your hosts, Jeremy Stoll
and Greg Mills.
And today we are going to talk about a very big underground happening that's not talked about in the norms, and this is fan fiction. Today we're going to talk about fan fiction.
Jeremy, now I think it's actually pronounced pa-fan-pa-fiction.
Pa-fan-pa-fiction.
Correct.
Yes,
correct.
I think our fan fiction starts with a PH. You are absolutely correct. And basically, if it doesn't start with a PH, it needs to immediately now start with a PH.
Correct.
So a little housekeeping. I'd like to remind everybody that we, meaning Greg Mills and myself, are going to lead a panel of Phantom cast members at BroadwayCon on July 22nd at the Marriott Marquis in the main room, 10 a.m. You're going to need tickets to BroadwayCon to attend, but if you're going to BroadwayCon, please come see members of the final cast and Greg and myself in a panel. BroadwayCon, July 22nd, Marriott Marquis, main room.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Okay. And also, as a reminder, please, when you're listening to our podcast, like, subscribe, and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to us. Thank you in advance for that. That helps very much, more than you can know. So, back to the fan fiction. Greg?
Yes.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a nice Father's Day weekend, and happy Father's Day to you, my friend.
Well, happy Father's Day to
you. Thank you.
Belated.
Yes. It was good. It was good. We actually went to Six Flags Great Adventure in New Jersey yesterday.
You did?
I did.
Oh, my God. My son's there today.
What?
How fun is that?
What?
How was it?
Oh, it was good. It's really crowded.
I'm sure. Yeah. Because we had Juneteenth. So everybody's off of school. Yep. And of course.
It was a good time. It was a good time. The kiddo had fun. The wife had fun.
Are you a roller coaster guy?
I am, but I had to take it a little easy because the old back is not what it used to be. So, isn't that crazy? Like all the stuff I could have done, you know, we went there 20 something years ago and, you know, go for it, have, you know, ride everything. But this time I was like, you guys go ahead. I did a couple things, but I had to lay off the big boys, but that's okay. I'm cool with that.
Right? You get on those things and your back goes, oh, no, thanks. It's really a sign of age and it's very annoying.
Yeah.
I do not like that. There's just little things like bending over to tie your shoes. Now you have to sit down. Going on a roller coaster. Maybe not. You know what? I probably have to go to bed before 3 o'clock because I need to function tomorrow as a human being. It's
3 o'clock p.m.
is a pain. Yeah. 3 o'clock, yeah, exactly. I go to bed before the early bird special so that I don't eat it and I can stay slim.
That's right. A half a can of Campbell's soup and straight to bed.
Oh my God. That's like a dancer's lifestyle.
And that's my fan fiction.
Fan fiction is the subject of the day. Greg, what do you know about fan fiction?
I know there seems to be quite a lot of it. Some of it's really awesome. I just heard about one that our producer Joyce was just saying that there's like a crossover with Phantom and Labyrinth, which was like one of my favorite movies when I was younger. And so that I've got to look into and find that because that would be amazing. But I know it's out there and I know people have mentioned it to me or said, oh, you got to check out this or that. So yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty creative that people write this stuff and I love to see where they go with it. And hopefully we will explore that today. What about you, Jeremy?
Yes, in just a few minutes, we're going to head over to Wattpad.com, WATTPAD.com, Wattpad. It's a website for people to write their fan fiction, people to grade it, people to read it, and people to see it. It's quite impressive. We're going to take a few snippets from Wattpad.com and read them for you today. But before that, we have a question that is very relevant to today's episode that came in on our Pod of No Return Instagram click. If you want to ask us questions, please go into Pod of No Return on Instagram and and send us the questions.
Fire
we
away.
Take them very seriously. We read them all, and the ones that we can get to, we will get to. So this fan asked, what shows do you think Phantom character or storyline could intertwine with? And you just mentioned Labyrinth. I thought that was amazing. I thought maybe because it's such a Victorian show, and that's it's really hot right now, the Victorians.
It's so hot right now.
We could... We it could probably I could see some of the characters ending up in Bridgerton.
Oh God, right? Like Raoul.
If they exactly. They took a trip from France over to England and they ended up in Bridgerton. There's like the mysterious Duke that nobody can see. He wears a mask and only the only parties he throws are ones where everybody's covered up, kind of thing. Or Raoul is on the hunt for a new lady or a lady on the side. He's got one in France. He needs one in England. And then
that's right.
Move on to Germany. Bridgerton is not, they don't shy away from the sex scenes, do they?
No.
That show is wow.
Yeah.
Especially the first season. I couldn't believe some of the stuff they put on screen. Holy cow. What other storylines do you think it can intertwine
with?
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like any of those kind of like period pieces like that would work, obviously work great because of the show and the style of Phantom also. But I thought like my wife and I had currently been watching, although we finished two seasons of it now, we're watching Yellow Jackets. And if you have...
Oh my gosh.
That show is amazing.
Oh,
that show is amazing. Yes. But I'm like, I could like picture him like somehow creeping through the woods and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just to put him in a more like contemporary feel, but that's a twisted show.
What if we put him in some sort of really off show like Batman, where the Phantom ends up as one of the villains and he, you know, because he ends up in Coney Island. Maybe he comes into Gotham City and he's trying to take over the joint, but there's these other guys that have already been ruling the place and he's got to clean it out so that he can have his own space.
Yeah, right. Or what if you put him in like an old like sitcom, like he's on Three's Company?
Can you imagine?
It's Phantom,
they're
Raoul,
doing
and
the
Christine.
Opening credits. And they're doing the opening credits and they do the one take to the camera where they like smile or something fell out of their hands and they go, oh gosh. What would the Phantom
company.
Do? He'd like throw the cloak over his eyes or something. Oh man, that is weird. We are off. What do you think are Phantom characters? What other shows do you think that they could be cast in or be inserted to? I think Joyce had mentioned the Phantom would make a really great Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Have you ever thought that way? Like where else could Raoul be? And I, you know, he could be in so many freaking things. Like how about Tale of Two Cities?
Yeah, exactly.
Or we'll put him in some sort of like, or we could specifically put it into Disney features. Like he could be any one of the princes, but then he's kind of that not so great guy. He's a little conceited and a little everybody should bow to me kind of attitude.
Little
Raoul does.
Little Gaston.
So if he were to take Snow White away, or if he were to take Sleeping Beauty, Briar Rose, that's her name, away and live happily ever after. Happily ever after might last about 6 months until
right.
they're tired of each other. Then it gets into like some Sondheim-esque deal.
And then you get the sequel where Raoul or whatever his name is turns into an alcoholic. And yeah, it all goes south.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. So can we consider the Phantom 2? I always call it Phantom 2 Electric Boogaloo. Because I grew up 800 years ago,
yeah,
and there was a series of movies that came out called Breakin'.
Yes.
And then they came out with another movie.
Breakin' 2.
Breakdancing.
Electric Boogaloo.
Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo. So I always call it Phantom 2, Electric Boogaloo. But Phantom 2, do you think that is a form of fan fiction where Andrew Lloyd Webber himself was sitting at home going, where else could I put them? How about Coney Island? I mean, seriously,
yeah.
In what realm did he go, you know what's a great idea? Coney Island. Like, how in the world did that pop into his brain? And then he went, you know what? I'm going to dedicate months of time to making that work. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there was, I remember like years ago, and I'm sure somebody knows that knows this more than me. There was a book called Phantom of Manhattan, I think. And I think I owned it or read it. And I'm not sure if that was set.
I think he's called Batman.
Batman. But I'm pretty sure there was a Phantom of Manhattan. And I don't know if that was kind of like the Coney Island, although Coney Island is not Manhattan, but I don't know. I don't know if there was some, like, you know, reference to that at all.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that was out there, but I believe so. Absolutely could have driven him. I can see why he did it, because it's such a really interesting place with a lot of characters, and he had his choice to make up any sort of person or person, place, or thing.
Yeah, that, and it gives you like cool scenery that you can make a cool set, which they did in the show.
I just don't know what it has to do with opera, because it all plays in opera. But then again, I guess the Phantom was a magician and a inventor and
architect.
All the things that Madame Giry,
a composer, would tell around. I still remember the lines in the show.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah, Joyce put up also that Phantom could be Sweeney. Yeah.
Oh, that would be interesting.
He just wears like half a meat pie instead of a mask.
So basically, he's wearing his lunch.
Yeah.
He's using meat pie to cover up pizza face.
That's too many food groups. Yeah, that's it. The Phantom of Manhattan.
That's too many food groups. Where's the salad, man?
I know, right? Yeah, vegan Phantom. What do we got? The Phantom of Manhattan by Frederick Forsyth. That's the book. I remember that. I had that book.
Phantom of Manhattan.
Joyce just put up a link to it.
And?
I'm reading the synopsis.
Was it a successful book?
Oh, I don't think so, but I don't know.
Well, read it to us. Let's hear the synopsis.
Synopsis. Wait, this is characters. This is just about him. Where the heck's the synopsis? History, reference, characters. We still have, it looks like, the beginning of Phantom of Manhattan is narrated by an alien, Madame Giry, set in the early 1900s. Famous individuals of the time, such as Theodore Roosevelt, are mentioned in the novel. 2010 sequel, Love Never Dies, is partly based on the Phantom of Manhattan. Snap.
Get out of here.
There you go.
You came up with that out of your head, and then in the past,
I remember good.
Listened to you. Yeah. And see, you just came up with the idea right now, and they listened to you 10 years ago and produced it.
Whammo.
See?
This is amazing.
That's how it goes.
You know what's cool in this, too? They list the characters here, and I don't know. Maybe I'm a dummy. I always knew the Phantom was Eric, but this has given him a last name. Did you know he had a last name?
Well, in that book, maybe.
Maybe in this book. Eric.
What is his last name?
Eric Mulheim. Mulheim. Eric Mulheim.
Mulheim.
Huh.
That's interesting. What?
Fascinating.
Where does that derive from?
I don't know.
Mulheim.
I don't know.
What? It's Eric Mulheim of the Austrian Mulheims.
Yeah.
Or the,
Antoinette
the Swedish
Giry?
Family Mulheim.
Madame Giry's name is Antoinette. That name? According to this book. Rescued
Antoinette
Eric from a circus when he was a child. Yeah, I remember reading that in the book. That they in this book they say they that she rescued Eric from a circus when he was a kid. Darius is Eric's partner. Like circus partner or partner. Yeah, either way. Yeah, there's lots of different
stuff. Well, this is
stuff.
Really interesting. So for any of you Phantom fans out there who don't know about The Phantom of Manhattan, that might be a good book. I know that probably many of you are rolling your eyes at us and wondering how do we not know that book exists, but we do now. So thank you for theoretically rolling your eyes at me, which I'm doing to myself. Moving on. Should we go to Wattpad.com and find ourselves some fan fiction? Fan fiction.
Yes. Wow, there's a lot
Let's
of
Let's do it, man.
Let's do.
I am over at Wattpad right now, and I have found one called The Phantom and His Friend. Now, should we do a guest synopsis, a classic Greg Mills, Jeremy Stoll guessing synopsis on A Phantom and His Friend?
Yes, I think
what
we
think the story's about.
Of course.
All right. Here we go. A Phantom and His Friend. It is about the Phantom of the Opera and his friend, a fake dog that he keeps. I take that back. Scratch. A Phantom and his fake monkey friend, which he hides on a music box and he talks to every night, which is why he's sitting next to the throne. And it becomes his advisory board where he decides what he's going to do by talking to the monkey, his friend, and all his ideas are then given to him through this imaginary character.
And Jeremy, what is that monkey's name? Because I hear you're good at naming monkeys.
I didn't name the monkey. It's Robo-Monkey.
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 Okay.
Yes. So Robo-Monkey, for all of you who don't know, in the Broadway show years back, they auctioned off the names of the monkey, the music box monkey, and the elephant. So the monkey was auctioned off, and the person who won that decided to name him Robo-Monkey. And now that has a little plaque inside the monkey where it clearly states that it's its name. Do you know what the name of the elephant is, Greg Mills?
I do. It's, you want me to say it?
Are you blank?
No, I don't.
Yeah, of course I want you to say it.
The name of the elephant is Bimbo.
Yes. Yo, Bimbo.
Yo, Bimbo. That's right.
Yeah, the plaque says Y-O space
Bimbo. Bimbo.
So somebody spent a buttload of money to call the biggest prop, the second biggest prop in the show, Bimbo. He's just like, I want to know the story behind that.
I know,
like, who
right?
has that sense of humor?
I know.
That's bananas. All right, so back, we digress. What is your synopsis of A Phantom and His Friend?
I don't have... I mean, yours was very good. Yours went into more detail. All I can think of when I hear Phantom and Friends, I just picture Phantom and his buddy, this big purple dinosaur, skipping through the park, singing, I love you, you love me, we're a phantom family. That's all I can picture. Phantom and Friends.
That is amazing. All right, so let's go over to The Phantom and His Friend. This is written by an author who calls them, him, her, themselves, unclear, a supernatural otter. Now, that is amazing. A supernatural otter. I'm wondering if that is a reference to the different types of people in the gay community. There's, you know about that? There's the bears and the cubs and the otters, and we'll never know.
We'll never know.
But this one happens to be supernatural, and I'm very excited because that maybe means they're a great author. So I'm going to start. It starts out with, first of all, hi. Thank you for reading the story. I really hope you enjoy it. I will try my hardest to attempt to update as frequently as I can. Feel free to correct me or ask questions. I'll answer as frequently as I can. Love you. Heart emoji, smiley face emoji.
Nice. Fantastic. I like that they're like these... feeling free to like, hey, let's discuss the story and let's see where we can make it better. That's pretty cool.
Right. That's interesting because that's an aspect of fan fiction that definitely doesn't exist in novel writing, where it can be updated and discussed and changed according to what people are liking and what they want to see happen.
Yeah.
So it's like a almost choose your own adventure, which is really interesting to me.
That's cool.
So I'll start.
Yeah.
My name is Clara Marie Thomas. I'm 9 years old. My parents had passed away, and I had been sent to live in the ballet dormitories. I wasn't very excited, and the passing of my parents had taken a heavy toll. I was in the dormitories of the opera with the other little girls. Most of them my age, or a year younger or older. I sat on a bed, my only possession being a stuffed elephant my mother had made me. It was worn from use. I noticed the same look in the other girls' eyes, fear, worry, but still hints of excitement. The girl behind me tapped my shoulder. I turned around to face her. She had a soft face and chestnut-colored hair. Hi, she greeted. Hello. I spoke quietly, still a little frightened of this place. I'm Antoinette. Antoinette Giry.
See, that's twice I've heard Antoinette now, and I never knew that was her first name. Exciting.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm Clara. Clara Thomas. Now, what's interesting is Clara, isn't that the name of the ballet girl in
Nutcracker.
Nutcracker? Yeah. So yeah. I wonder if that has anything to do with it. Well, nice to meet you, Clara. We're going to be here a long time, I think. Yes. It's better than being on the streets. Yes, I suppose so. How old are you, Clara? I'm 9 years old. Well, I'm 11. So I hear that we're going to learn to dance? Yes. Yes, we are. But first, they are going to make us clean the opera. Mm-hmm. Our first years will be as servants to dancers, singers, anyone who needs us. Then we will dance. When new girls come in, we might as well get used to this place. Yes, might as well.
That's pretty cool.
Now in bold. A couple months later. It had been a couple of months since I've come to live here. We sweep the stages when dances are done. The other girls are nice enough. But Antoinette and I are close friends. I had discovered many hidden nooks and crannies to hide in. The most interesting was the catacombs under the stage. It was big, and a lake ran through it. Our headmistress, Madame Dubois, said that we're going to see a circus. I was nervous. When we arrived, there were many scary things. It was placed behind the opera. A monkey that ran around. A woman with a beard. I was terrified. There was a man who stood outside the tent drawing us near. Come one, come all. Come see the child of the devil. The other girls rushed forward. I followed them. Inside the tent was a little boy. He could have been my age. He wore a bag over his head. He had bruises all over his torso and arms. He sat in a cage, clutching a doll to his chest. The girls crowded, pointing at him. I stood near the bars. He looked up at me. I didn't see his face, only his eyes. A warm golden amber color. But from what I could tell, he was intelligent. There was a darkness in his eyes. It seemed strange and mysterious. I felt pity. He was just a boy. He had sadness in his eyes. The man from before entered the cage with a stick. The boy tried to crawl away. He lifted the boy up. He tore the bag off his head, revealing his face. The other girl screamed and cowered. I didn't fear him. There was intricate scars and burns on one half of his face. His eyes were red and puffy, grinned tears. He was sad. He tried to cover his face. The man raised the stick and beat him. The girls cheered. I was in pure horror at the sight. He cried out, making the beatings worse. The boys cowered, hunched over in pain. When the man left the cage, the girls left. The man noticed me lingering. You want to watch me hit him again? I shook my head. No. I want to look. All right. Let me know when you're done. He stood at the entrance of the tent. I circled the cage. The boy had placed his mask on his face. Who are you? I asked him. He shook his head. I don't want to hurt you. He tilted his head. I want to get you out of here. I whispered so the man couldn't hear. I tugged on the bars, trying to get him out. He stood at the edge, grabbing my wrists. He shook his head again. No, I can't leave you here, I whispered. He pointed at the man. I saw the keys on his waist. I saw the stick on the ground. I grabbed an empty bottle. I picked it up. The boy nodded, pointing at the man and making a swing motion with his arms. Excuse me, monsieur. I changed my mind. The man turned to come back in. I swung the bottle, aiming for the man's face. I hit him, breaking the bottle and knocking him out. I snatched the keys and unlocked the cage. The boy wrapped me in a hug when he came out. Wait here, I whispered. I ran back to Madame Dubois. Madam, I think I'll return to the dormitories. I'm feeling a little ill, madam. Go ahead. Be ready for work tomorrow. I nodded and rushed back to the tent. The boy was there. I offered him my hand and led him outside the opera, making sure to avoid other people. I led him to the catacombs. When we were there, he sat in a large area at the center. You can hide here. No one can hurt you anymore. I won't tell anyone about you. I reached for the bag on his head. You won't need this anymore. I grabbed it in my hands. No, he croaked. So you can speak, I asked, a little intrigued. Yes, Please don't take this. I need it. No, you don't need it. No. Ashamed, he put his hands to his face. Okay, I'm sorry. Can I at least know your name? He looked at me. I stuck out my hand. I'm Clara. He looked at my hand like it was a foreign object. I'm Eric. He shivered a little bit. It was cold down there, though it might have been the fact that he wasn't wearing a shirt, only dirty trousers. I wish I could give him a bath to clean the dirt from his pale skin, but he was cold. So I took off my coat and wrapped it around him. Stay here, I'll be back. I ran up to the dormitories, grabbing an extra shirt and trousers. I grabbed a spare set of pillows and blankets, and I grabbed shoes and a spare mask. It was used for the annual masquerade ball, but I figured it wouldn't be missed. I grabbed a spare biscuit and a bottle of my tea. I ran back to the catacombs and gave him the clothes and blankets and food. We made a place for him to sleep. He put on the shirt and trousers. I handed him a mask. So you don't have to hide your full face. He took it and turned around, removing the bag. I saw the scars and bruises that decorated his neck and arms. He put on the mask, turning back to face me. I could see his eyes more clearly and his wispy blonde hair. He gratefully accepted the food and drink. We sat on his bed and ate. He was quiet. Near the end of the eating, I stood to leave. No, stay, he pleaded, grabbed my hand. I can't. I have to return, else Madame Dubois will be angry with me. I'll return tomorrow. Don't want to be alone, he said. It's okay, Eric. I leaned down, so I was crouching beside him. I won't leave you. I returned as often as I can. No one can hurt you again. He wrapped me in a hug. Thank you. How old are you? I asked him. 10. Well, I'm 9. You are my friend, he asked. Of course I'm your friend. I won't leave you. You'll never have to be hurt again. I hugged him and left the boy in the catacombs. I felt like everything was looking up. I knew that things could be better, and something about Eric made me absolutely positive of that. That's the end of the chapter.
Nice.
That was awesome.
That's really good. It's so detailed.
It's so detailed, and there's so many things that are intertwined in the actual Phantom story. It mm-hmm. kind of gives so much backstory to how the Phantom came from a cage at the circus to the Paris Opera House, which is really fun. And then this author actually intertwines a lot of the other story components, which like where the mask came from. And what's interesting to me is the blonde hair choice.
Yeah.
And the Phantom may have blonde hair because we had that alopecia wig on, which was basically gray hair.
Right.
And it at one time could have been blonde hair. That'd be really interesting. But she gave him what, brown eyes or hazel eyes?
Yes.
Yeah, that was wild. It was a really great job. I was actually pretty taken back with that. I think I might go ahead and read the rest of that.
I know, right?
Not today, of course, but yeah, that was great. What are your thoughts on that,
Greg? I thought it was great. I loved all the detail, and you know, it was a great setup to obviously meeting them as when they were kids, 9, 10 years old. I like the detail of the monkey running around and the stuffed elephant and stuff like that as the stuffed animal that she was holding. I thought that was good. Just kind of a little references to stuff in the show. Yeah, I'm interested to find out like who Clara turns out to be later on in the story. Like, you know, we know some of the other characters, but who is our lead girl, Clara, and what's she gonna
It's Clara Giry. It's Madame Giry.
Well, no, she met Antoinette Giry. Clara's the friend.
Antoinette would be Madame Giry. Oh, yeah. Okay, so she's also Clara's a different. Okay,
Clara
gotcha,
Marie
gotcha,
Thomas.
Gotcha.
So we got to find out who she is, and like she befriends Eric, and dun dun dun,
bum bum bum. Do you think it's? I think the elephant is an interesting choice, right? Is it like a reference to the Elephant Man? Kind of a deal, similarly treated. Or is the elephant just a thing? And what is the friend? Do we know what the friend is? Is the friend Clara? Is the friend the stuffed animal that he's holding and clutching? Who knows? Is the friend the mask? I don't know.
Dun, dun, dun.
I guess we'd have to read on to find out. Well, that was awesome.
That was so good.
A super high five to a supernatural otter, this author on Wattpad.com. The title of it is A Phantom and His Friend.
Phantom
that
his
interests
friend.
You at all.
Currently number one
Please
right now.
Go over there.
In the Wattpad Phantom fanfiction. Phantom fanfiction.
Is it really? It's the number one the ranked
yeah,
number one ranked?
Yeah, according to
yeah, it sure
this
is.
It just says number one, yeah.
Well, there you go. And also it says, this is interesting too, it says completed. So as you could see, there is some rewrites that happen on these things and redos. So if it says completed, then that means the person hasn't just left a few chapters for everybody to read, that they finished the story and that's done.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, kick us on another one.
All right. We're going to look at this. We're looking down here. There's so many cool sounding ones here. I'm just going to say some of the titles, but like number two is To Save You, I Will Die. And then we have a Before the Phantom, The Man Behind the Monster, Through Music We Thrive. And they all these have like beautiful like cover photos. Like it's
really well done.
Yeah, really
there
good artwork.
Legitimately thousands of them.
Yeah.
I love the fact that people are spending their time writing
yeah.
and being creative yeah. instead of being on TikTok. This is awesome.
Wait, I'm on TikTok right now. Just kidding.
Yeah, I know. But you know, TikTok is
yeah,
also creative. I don't mean that it's just I feel like writing and non-digital things are kind of a lost art, and I just love to see that people are just sitting down and writing stories.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what we do, because we recite stories on stage, right? Somebody writes a story and we bring it to life for people to watch, and it's magic to watch so many people interested in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you find one yet?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I could pick any one of these. Do we go with, there's one that's currently number 7, and it's called You Are Not
okay.
Alone. This Ooh. Was previously featured in Wattpad's pick, top ranked number 1 in Phantom of the Opera. And I think
we're going to have to do that then.
I think we might have to. And I think Joyce was saying that this one is going to have a sequel to this story. So this might be.
Oh, so it was so popular that
yeah,
they're going to do
a
second
one.
Okay.
So let's take it.
Is it going to take place in Coney Island? That's what I'm wondering.
I know. That's a good question.
Yeah. Or maybe at Hershey Park.
Could you imagine? That'd be awesome. Oh, I have to say too, just a side note, as we were talking about shows that, you know, we thought, oh, what else could Phantom go into? I actually am going to be making my television debut. I shot a little episode. If you blink, you'll miss me. But I will be on a show called Pretty Little Liars. That's on HBO. And so I have this really small part, but it's a second season of Pretty Little Liars Original Sin. But so wait, we had to watch the whole first season, and it's very Phantom of the Opera to me. And there's actually a dance teacher in this high school, and her name is Madame Giry.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I suggest watching Pretty Little Liars, not only because I'm going to be on it for 2 seconds, but because it's, you know, it's pretty fun, and there's definitely some...
And there's a Madame Giry in it.
There
so
is a Madame Giry, and there's a mysterious...
Possibly that writer is a fan of our show as well.
It could be. A mysterious masked person as well in that show, so it's worth a watch. I think it's great. All right, so now we have You Are Not Alone. Previously number 1. This is by Pin Behind a Mask. That's a very cool name.
Pin Behind a Mask. I have by Lottie Liu.
Yeah, it said that in the smaller one. Maybe that's and then when I click on it and it opens up to the story, it says Pin Behind a Mask. So maybe
it's
that's
a different
their
name. Okay.
Yeah, maybe that's their Watt page or Wattpad name. I'm not sure how this works, but yeah, it did say Lottie Liu.
Well, so there's two names, Lottie Liu and Pin Behind a Mask.
Yeah. So let's see. They have a little disclaimer up here. This is in right before we start chapter 1, which is called Angel of Music. It says, to be clear for anyone who was uncertain or didn't see in the story summary, this story is Eric / OC. So is in an alternate universe where Eric is involved with my original character rather than Christine. Thank you for reading, and I hope you enjoy.
Ooh, a different girlfriend.
So maybe this, is this the sequel to the first one that they wrote?
No, it's the first one.
Because it's Eric is involved with my original character rather than Christine. Okay. So her original character, I guess we're going to find out about her. This will be kind of like how we found out about Clara in the other story, which was one of Eric's friends. All right, so we have Chapter 1, Angel of Music. The soft swishing of his cape was the only sound Eric allowed as he walked down the narrow side corridor known only to him. The noise surrounded him like a swirling wind, putting him in mind of freedom beyond the opera house's walls. No footsteps resounded on the floor. No harsh breaths escaped his lips. No part of him brushed against the sides of the passage. Even the cold material of his mask didn't rub his face. The flickering silence was broken a moment later by footsteps and chattering voices on the other side of the wall. Eric hurried his pace, disinclined to listen to idle prattle. Then the singing started. The pure, sweet voice filled the small corridor like music straight from heaven. Eric froze in place, captivated. He ignored the bustle of the rest of the world, as a general rule, unless it benefited him. But music was one thing he could not resist. He moved to the side of the adjoining passage he was in and pressed his hands to the wall. He wanted desperately to know what could be making that beautiful sound. Most music in the opera house was barely passable. This music, however, seemed to be inside him, stopping his breath and filling his heart with lightness. This was how he made others feel with his music. He had read it on their faces and heard it in their voices, but had never felt it himself. This music was everything. Then the song died away, replaced by a soft laugh and animated voices. Eric peered through the gaps in the wall, fixing his eyes on a pair of girls walking down the adjacent corridor. One was taller, with brown hair and soft gray eyes, but he hardly noticed her. His gaze was instead full of the girl who had been singing. She was small and delicate, and carried herself as though she was about to sprout wings and take to the air. Hair like molten shadows tumbled down her back, curling into the folds of her deep green cloak. Her porcelain doll face was captured in a smile of the same elation Eric always felt when captured by music. Her eyes were brightly blue as sapphires. They seemed to shine like a pair of beautiful beacons, beaconing him forward. The girls continued down the corridor, walking inches away from where he was standing, and he couldn't help but follow as though he was in a trance. Eric's mind was spinning. He could still hear that gorgeous voice in his head. Nothing else seemed to matter. All he wanted was to hear that sound again, to be a part of it, to be closer to it, to be closer to her. Ooh, now we have a chapter break, it seems. This is very descriptive. I love all the detail. Her sapphire eyes, that's nice. All right, here we go. Christine tugged on Celeste's elbow, pulling her friend along. Come on, she urged. Rehearsal ended late today, and we don't want to be wandering around in the dark. Celeste sighed, but quickened her pace. Sorry, I'm coming. Christine, evidently noticing the sad edge of her voice, stopped and turned. Are you all right going to the cemetery? I know it's been a long day. Of course. Oh, I lost my page scrolling. Ah! Of course. Celeste raised her eyes to meet the other girl's gaze. A gentle smile lifted her lips. I'm fine, don't worry. Besides, a trip to my father might improve my day. Christine sighed, but didn't argue, and the two of them moved off again. Anyway, Celeste continued, forcing false joviality in her voice. It was only Carlotta, and all she's throwing around are mean words. True, but she was pretty vicious today. Christine looked pityingly at her friend. It's not important, she replied quietly. Together, they passed through the writhing iron gate and into the graveyard, not noticing the shadows that followed them. When Christine reached her father's grave, Celeste continued walking wordlessly, leaving her friend to reminisce alone. Celeste knelt where she arrived at the gravestone that was on her own destination, feeling the springy grass below creeping under her skirt and tickling her legs. She blinked back the familiar prick of tears as her eyes traced the etching lines of her father's name. I really wish I could go home to see you, Papa, see you today, Papa, she whispered. I'd love to hug you. and I know you'd say just the right thing to encourage me. Carlotta was throwing her insults again today, and I know I shouldn't let her get to me, but it still hurts. She managed to say exactly what I'm worrying about at that moment, and then I can't get her out of my head. Celeste sighed and ran a hand through her hair. Talking to her father's grave was always therapeutic, but ultimately it didn't change anything. In the end, she was only talking to a piece of rock. And if her father really could hear her somewhere, he certainly didn't answer her. I wish you were here. I feel so alone sometimes. She looked out to the distance, watching the sun turn redder as it slowly began to set. When she heard Christine's footsteps, she lifted her head again, hurriedly brushing her cheeks dry from the tears that she hadn't noticed falling. Without a word, Christine held out a hand and helped out the other girls to her feet. I know what you need, she said softly. Blue eyes meet gray. An angel. Celeste smiled to her own surprise. I think we could all do it with one of those. You need an angel of music, like little Lottie in her stories my father told, Christine continued, mirroring Celeste's smile. The two of them had met a decade previously at the Paris Conservatory, where they had both studied before joining the opera house, and Christine had always been delighted to share her father's tales in that time. A shake of her head and a wry smile were the only reply Celeste gave. Christine remained undeterred. An angel to teach you, to sing in your sleep, to bring music to every part of your life. Oh, that sounds lovely, but angels aren't real. And if they were, they ought to go to you, not me. Christine looked back in the direction of her father's grave. Celeste, my father said he sent an angel of music to me from heaven. I believe him. And if you can hear my father, she raised her voice slightly with another glance over her shoulder, send the angel to Celeste instead. She needs it. Thanks, with a laugh, Celeste linked her arms through Christine's, pulling her gently back towards the gate. Come on, let's go home. Okay, but I'm dropping you off tonight. Oh, you really don't need to, Christine raised a hand to stop her protest. Your head's been in the clouds all day. You probably walked halfway across Paris before you noticed you'd taken the wrong turning. Celeste laughed again, rolling her eyes. All right, then. And anyway, Christine said, beginning to lead them both out of the graveyard, the angel of music might come and snatch you up if you were on your own, and then you leave me completely behind. Celeste smiled and glanced back over her shoulder. Goodbye, Papa, she whispered softly, her quiet words drifting back to settle on the shadowy tombstone. Perhaps it wouldn't be so bad to be sent an angelic companion. I think that's probably a good place to stop. I don't want to give away too much more. Have other people want to come and read where the rest of the story goes. Jeremy, what do you think of that?
It's so great. It's so descriptive. I love how they are just taking our story and kind of giving it all backstory. So basically, if we piece together all these backstories of the different characters that these people have come up with, we would have a 9,000 page novel. It'd be the next War and Peace.
Yeah, right.
Because everybody has a life that is a full book on its own. It's very great. It's very descriptive. I love the meeting of the angel of music. So this person has explained where the Phantom gets that title and how he gave it to her to call him and why that exists in the show. And again, classic, very, very good, very well done.
Yeah. These
authors are actors. They're doing all the backstory work that we do on our characters.
Yeah. I love that she had incorporated like Carlotta into there as, you know, she's already, you know, this bitchy kid. And I love it.
And the attitude of Carlotta already.
Yeah. I was like, when I was reading that, I'm like, I was like, I want to see this as like a modern, like Riverdale, like, you know, some sort of like high school teen series, you know, where they're all in high school together. I think that'd be cool. Like the whole Phantom cast, but they're like, you know, high school peers and students. Someone probably
has written
that. What are
you talking about? I fully did that.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't write it. I did that on, what was it, Vine?
Yeah, Vine.
We had the Tales of Phantom High,
where
we were all different characters. We had Christine.
I think I was your Ralph for one of those.
Okay.
I remember. I think
you were. Yes, you were.
Yeah. We were in the dressing room, the Ralph room.
We did a scene, the prom. I said, hey, you're going to take Christine to the prom, and he said, nah, I'm going to go with somebody else. She's all yours. I'm like, cool, high five.
I'm going to go with Celeste now.
Exactly.
Celeste is
your new prom lady.
You know it.
Oh my god. We had pimples. We said, there was a scene, I think, who said, Christine, I love you as a friend. She was so devastated. Oh man. That was a good time. I miss Vine. So let's do one more. There was a suggestion from Joyce called The Phantom's Daughter. It really got her lit up. She is loving this book or this fan fiction reading. What do you call them? Are they books? They're not books. They're
stories.
Stories? Yeah, I guess they're online stories. It's probably not anything that's out there that's printed. So we just call them stories. Great. And this is by an author. It's also on Wattpad, by the way. We're getting all of these from Wattpad.com.
I love their design.
Would you like to read these, or would you like to?
Their cover design is
the squiggly W.
Well, no, like the actual picture. It's like it looks like
could be a woman. About, yeah, the actual books,
yeah,
the stories
with this mask here. It's very dark and seductive.
Phantom's Daughter.
Yeah,
it kind of looks a little 50 Shades of Grey movie cover.
Yeah, I like to say 50 Shades of Greg.
Greg.
Hey, fan fiction
the
out 50 there.
50 personalities of Greg.
That's right. I need somebody to write that fan fiction for me. 50 Shades of Greg.
Now that's going to happen.
It's going to be dirty.
So this is called The Phantom's Daughter, and it's by the Lady in Red. I wonder what that reference
lady
is.
Lady in Red is dancing.
Yeah, exactly. That's the obvious choice, but I'm pretty sure that's not it.
Probably not.
I wonder if the Lady in Red's like their favorite dress, or it's some sort of lipstick, or it's...
I'm gonna guess it's a throw to the Red Death, maybe.
Oh, that's really Phantom's good. Maybe daughter. That's this author's favorite costume.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get reading. There is no, there's no paragraph before about it, so we'll just dive right in.
Nice.
This had been something Christine had been dreading for months. Her daughter was becoming more and more like him every day. She knew she could no longer hide her oldest secret from her husband. Her daughter was turning 5 within the next week, and with each passing day, she looked less like her husband and more like him. What once could pass as an injury caused by a careless midwife could no longer be denied for what it truly was. The same deformity that plagued Christine's dreams ever since that night felt like a lifetime ago. Victoria, Christine called to her daughter, voice soft as not to alarm the child. Come here, my love. She smiled. Yes, Mama. Victoria crawled into her mother's bed and into her lap. Christine stroked her daughter's face gently, then took her hand in hers. I want you to know that I love you. I love you so very much. She kissed her daughter's forehead gently. And I want you to know I will always be there for you, even when we're apart. Christine said, holding back tears. Did I do something wrong, Mama? Victoria whispered. Please don't send me away. I promise to be good. Christine pulled her child close to her chest in a tight embrace. You're an angel, my love, Christine spoke after pulling away slightly from the embrace. Nothing you could do would make me love you less. She smiled again. Then where am I going? Victoria asked. To your father. You can't stay here anymore, she said, her voice now barely above a whisper. Victoria looked up at her mother, confused. Father is in the study doing his work. She looked to the closed door of her parents' bedroom. Christine also looked at the closed door as if something terrible was about to come through it. No, my love, she quickly stood from her bed and helped Victoria off to the bed as well. Everything will make sense in time. But we must act quickly. She picked up a bag from underneath the bed and gestured for Victoria to follow her. She went to open the doors to walk out, but before she could walk through, she was met face to face with her husband. He looked furious. From what she can tell, she had heard their conversation and had put the pieces together himself. Raoul, I can explain, Christine whispered. She held her daughter's hand in hers tightly. Just let me through. He blocked her path again. Do you truly think I was gullible enough not to know? Raoul hissed. Do you genuinely think I would believe this abomination to be my child? He moved closer to intimidate her, reaching back and slapping her across the face. This caused Christine and Victoria to cry out, both out of worry and pain. "I'll take care of this as I have done for all your mistakes." He then grabbed Victoria by her wrist and pulled her towards him out of Christine's grasp. The force of the pull made her fall forward while Victoria was tugged to his side. "No," Christine cried, reaching forward to try to reclaim her daughter. "At least let me say goodbye." Her hair fell to her face in a messy, loose strands. Raoul looked down at her. For a moment, it seemed though as though he had a change of heart and decided to pity her. Then he took another look at the small child whose hand he was holding and turned away from Christine and walked away, roughly pulling Victoria along. They got into the carriage and rode to where it all began. It was a 2-hour trip, but they made it. Raoul pushed Victoria out of the carriage because she took too long. He fell with a hard thud. The carriage driver gasped. Raoul roughly picked her up and then took her arm and brought her into the building. The door was open as if he was expecting them. "Phantom, you have affected our lives for the last time," he yelled amongst the rubble and cobwebs around them. "She is of your blood and shares your face," he yelled, his voice echoing throughout the seemingly empty room. "She's your responsibility now. Here she is. I'm giving her to you." He pushed Victoria forward, causing her to fall again. Raoul jolted back a rope around his neck. A deep voice spoke. "You hurt my child. I could so hurt you or easier kill you." The rope tightened around Raoul's neck. "But I won't. No matter how much I want to. Leave now before I change my mind." He snarled, loosening the rope enough for Raoul to escape. Raoul ran out as fast as he entered. He walked to Victoria and kneeled in front of her. "Are you all right?" he asked, gently moving the girl's hair from her face. Victoria studied his face. His face was disfigured, sort of like hers, but there were multiple stories beneath it that Victoria was too young to understand. "Who are you?" she asked, cowering in front of the stranger she had never met before. He moved his hand to hover over the distorted parts of her face. She had a cut under her eye from when Raoul pushed her from the carriage. "I am your father." He looked at her with kind eyes, and he gave a gentle smile as if to show her he meant no harm. "You won't hurt me, will you?" she asked, frightened. He offered his hand to help her up to her feet. She took it with caution as she rose to her feet. "Why would I hurt such a beautiful face?" he asked, holding his daughter's hand. He walked her to where she would now call home. "Now, my child, what is your name?" "Victoria," she smiled, walking a little more closer to him now. And that's where we'll stop that chapter.
Well, that is interesting.
I'm going to kick Raoul's ass.
I find it interesting. Yeah, for real.
That's a jerk.
It's so interesting how abuse of women and children and just pure violence in society is completely allowed at this time period. Mm. I feel like it's getting canceled more and more in our modern versions of shows where there's less male dominance and less slapping unless it's really important to show what a douchebag that character is.
Right.
So this is quite a violent scene and very interesting. And I wonder if the mom is then going to die. Because Christine, well, this is Victoria, right?
Right. Christine's
so
the mom.
So Victoria is, yeah. And it's, so Christine, I wonder if that will happen or if Raoul leaves or if this is a playoff of Phantom 2.
I know. I went back to the story. I'm trying to look to see. Can we tell when these were written? Like if there was a date on these? I can't see that. But I just wonder. I like wonder, did this stuff come out before, you know, Love Never Dies? Or obviously that the Phantom of Manhattan has been out, what I say, 1999 or something like that.
Oh, that's quite a long time.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I wonder how much of that plays into. Oh, wait, Phantom's Daughter, August 2nd, 2013. Looks like that's when it was started. So most of this
I loved it.
Written 2013.
I love that Rao walked up to the, he walked up to the building and like, to the Phantom. Empty building with cobwebs, which is, so yeah, he goes, hey, Phantom, take your daughter. Doesn't call him Eric, doesn't know his name. Also, the Phantom suddenly doesn't clean his house. So he's become a messy man for some reason.
Clean your lair, Phantom.
I always pictured the lair or wherever he lives to be pretty meticulously cleaned. It wouldn't make any sense otherwise. So this is another thing where he maybe has changed his ways and Rao changed his ways and he didn't kill him. He let him go from the noose. He kind of, they did a play on the ending scene from Our Phantom on Broadway where he nooses him up and then lets him go out of pity. So it's, I guess I'm wondering if this is a second time that he's put the noose over his neck and then let him go again.
Maybe that's right. Just like his thing.
Like, you know how this goes.
Yeah, instead of like, you know, a handshake or a high five, you get poonjobbed. You know what I mean? Like, he just got
street. That's right.
He just got street poonjobbed.
You get the poonjob lasso.
Right outside, man. Blam. I like it.
And you notice he didn't cut down the lasso or the noose with the exploding candle because probably his didn't work either. Just like the one
they learned. It just doesn't gotta work.
They were like, we're cutting the candle. It's done. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Well,
there's
again,
a lot of good stuff
if anybody,
out here, man.
Yeah. If anybody's interested in this fan fiction and you want to read some great stories, and apparently you can write to these authors and give your opinions and suggestions, it's at wattpad.com. And you can read some fan fiction. This has actually been a really eye-opening experience. I think it's very fun to know this underground version of our show has existed for so long and people are clearly passionate about it. If hundreds of thousands of people have read these stories, there is a...
Yeah, and you can comment. Like, there are comments under these stories and stuff. Like, there's a whole thing. You can, like, sign in and comment to these stories. It's great.
It's really fantastic, isn't it? So, that's it. And if any of the authors that we've read today would like to contact us and have a conversation about it, then please do at the Pot of No Return. Just write into our link and we'll get back to you. We appreciate your hard work on these fan fiction stories. And
so good.
I hope you're happy with our readings. It was certainly fun to do. And I'd like to remind everybody that our podcast is on all platforms, but if you can like and subscribe and leave a comment about our show, we would really appreciate it.
Yeah.
That helps us very much. And Greg and I will be back again with another episode. Hopefully next week. We're working on getting this on what I believe to be a Friday schedule. That should start happening pretty soon. And
yeah, like share with us too, you know, like questions you have or ideas for, you know, a show that you would like us to talk about. Send us topics or, you know, somebody you would like to have us have on the show. Let us know that stuff too.
And I think that we're going to have a website coming out pretty soon called potofnoreturn.com. I'm hoping that is the call. And I think on potofnoreturn.com, you'll be able to go in and see pictures and click through the things that we talk about and read online. You'll be able to see pictures of things that we're talking about in episodes. And you'll basically be able to interact with our episodes and leave comments and questions at our website. But only leave comments, questions, and subscriptions after you've done it on our podcasts on the different platforms. So with that said, I think we'll call it an end and we will see you next time. As always, appreciate your time. Appreciate you tuning in and have a wonderful day.
Thanks everybody. Have a good one.